we need to focus on the facts and not necessarily the fiction that I think is spreading some of the irrational behavior.
Coronavirus expands, as do efforts against it. It's Monday, March 2nd. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Join us as well on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, we speak with coronavirus patients in San Diego. How to stay germ-free at airports. A shift in the U.S. presidential race. Ancient Indian food and rock music from Cambodia. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Australia, Thailand, and Japan were among countries reporting new deaths from the coronavirus epidemic on Sunday. But amid the first reported U.S. coronavirus death in the United States, Vice President Mike Pence sought to reassure Americans that the risk remains low, that they will be infected. In Australia, a 78-year-old man who had been quarantined on the Diamond Princess cruise ship died in Perth, becoming that country's first outbreak fatality. While in Thailand, a 35-year-old salesman described as having had contact with foreign tourists became that country's first death from the disease. In Japan, a man in his 70s died on the northern island of Hokkaido. Vice President Pence acknowledged on NBC's Meet the Press show there will be more cases in the United States, but said it's all hands on deck to do everything possible to prevent the spread of the disease. In the midst of the U.S. presidential campaign, the onset of the coronavirus in the United States led to sharp contentions about the efforts of the Trump-led government fight. Former Vice President Joe Biden, looking to win the Democratic presidential nomination to oppose Trump in November's national election, said on ABC News' This Week that the president had cut funding for two key government health agencies, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the National Institutes of Health. China, where the virus originated, reported 523 new cases and 35 deaths on Sunday. China has a total of 79,824 cases. South Korea, the hardest-hit country outside China, reported the biggest surge Saturday with 376 new cases. That raised the total to over 3,500. Iran confirmed 593 cases and 43 deaths, the highest death toll outside of China. The spread of the virus has contributed to growing concern over the possibility of a global recession. The World Health Organization raised its global risk assessment of the coronavirus to its highest level Friday. The WHO said Saturday that more than 85,000 people worldwide have been infected in nearly 60 countries and that virus-related deaths topped 2,900. Socially, many Asian Americans have been feeling the stigma of the virus. 2 weeks after Chinatown Partnership's Wellington Chen began the Show Some Love to Chinatown campaign in New York City to combat public fear of coronavirus transmission, Commissioner of the Department of Small Business Services Greg Bishop explained to VOA Asia's Ashlyn Peter the effect of the campaign has had on businesses in the area.
When the coronavirus, when we started hearing, anecdotal feedback from businesses that they were seeing like a 40% decline in foot traffic, I reached out to the bid and in early February to say hey, we need to. I need to be out there so individuals will see that, government is out and, we can send a message that, we need to focus on the facts and not necessarily the fiction that I think is spreading some of the irrational behavior.
Meanwhile, in South Korea, the quick spike in confirmed coronavirus infections over the past week can be partially attributed to easy coronavirus testing. As of Friday, the country had tested about 80,000 people. Many are getting tested at specially created drive-through clinics. VOA News Center's Bill Gallo and Korean Service video journalist Hyungjin Kim share details.
At this makeshift drive-through clinic north of Seoul, South Koreans are getting tested for the coronavirus. It's easy, affordable, and safe. Just one of the innovative ways South Korea is coping with an explosion of coronavirus cases.
One of my clients tested positive for the virus, so I came here to get tested just in case. It's faster than the testing clinics at community health centers, and it's convenient, just a ride in a car.
Roadside clinics like this have popped up across the country. A rapid mobilization of resources in response to the outbreak.
A regular testing clinic takes between 30 minutes and 2 hours. But at this drive-through clinic, it only takes 10 minutes. It also helps avoid unnecessary contact with other people.
One of the dangers of the coronavirus is that it can spread easily from patients to medical workers. But at clinics like this, contact is minimized, making it safer for everyone involved.
I saw the news yesterday that it is safe to visit this drive-through testing clinic. I feel very reassured that I can get the testing in my car and I don't need to be around a lot of other people.
At this site alone, nearly 400 people were tested Thursday. That was nearly as many as the United States had tested in total since the outbreak began. South Korea is testing thousands more people every day as it tries to get a firm grasp on just how bad the outbreak is. Reporting with Kim Hyung-jin, Bill Gallo, VOA News, Seoul.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines that you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Empty streets, economic turmoil as coronavirus alters daily life. Indonesia repatriating citizens who worked on coronavirus-stricken cruise ships. Malaysia swears in new prime minister as Mahathir loses out. Chinese concern about Iran's virus crisis becomes top Weibo topic. You'll find all of these stories and much more when you read VOA Asia Facebook, visit our Twitter page, and also the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. After being flown from China to San Diego, California, 160 people were quarantined on a military base for 2 weeks while doctors determined if they were infected with the coronavirus. VOA spoke with some of them when they were finally released. For VOA, Christiana Shevchenko has more from San Diego in this report narrated by Anna Rice.
Finally free to go, many still in masks. Dozens of people who left a California military installation are free and clear of the coronavirus. More than 160 Americans had been evacuated from the epicenter of the coronavirus, Wuhan, China, 2 weeks ago, and were immediately quarantined at Marine Corps Air Station Miramar in San Diego.
They really care about us and check us twice a day. And at least our family feels safe, and we also have a kids' playground over there.
The quarantine ended Tuesday after the 160 people didn't show signs of the coronavirus.
We're lucky to get out of China. We're just very fortunate. No, we're free and clear. We're good. We've been under quarantine for 2 weeks, so we're clear. We're probably better off than most other people right now.
On their way to freedom, they got lunch. And once at the airport, there was help on hand to help people borrow money who didn't have enough to buy tickets home. The evacuees say their time in quarantine wasn't so bad.
I have a friend that's in quarantine in Germany right now. So we'll compare notes. Our condition is much, much better than hers.
In what respect better?
Well, I mean, like our living condition is much better, right? And also the charity bring in food. And they even consider there are so many Chinese. So they bring in, like, considering the taste, the different kind of a food flavor. So, yeah, they're very good.
An additional 60 people in a later wave of evacuees from Wuhan City remain quarantined. Despite all of that, people who live nearby aren't overly concerned.
I try to be careful, wear gloves, wash my hands. Universal precautions.
The San Diego city government last week declared a state of emergency due to the virus, but it was only a preventative measure. In total, about 5,000 Americans remain quarantined in the United States. In order to accommodate them, the government has allocated 15 military bases in different states of the country. For Christina Shevchenko in San Diego, California, Anna Rice, VOA News.
Happening now in Asia news, Australia, Thailand, and Japan were among countries reporting new deaths from the coronavirus epidemic Sunday. But as the first death has been reported in the United States, Vice President Mike Pence sought to reassure Americans that the risk remains low that they will be infected. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad to have you with us, as always, on this brand new week of VOA Asia. The coronavirus outbreak has upended air travel and caused people to question the safety of cruises. Travelers have canceled trips to Asia and gone as far as to refrain from eating Chinese food prepared in countries that don't have widespread outbreak of the virus that's called COVID-19. VOA Asia's Carol Pearson reports on the most important safety measure when traveling.
Doctors have warned for a long time that an infectious disease anywhere is potentially a disease everywhere. Case in point is the global spread of HIV/AIDS. Another case, SARS, severe acute respiratory syndrome. It was discovered in China in February 2003, and like the current coronavirus epidemic, the government had to build special hospitals. Before SARS was finished 6 months later, it had spread to more than two dozen countries, mostly through air travel. Toronto was especially hard hit, with more than 400 cases and 44 deaths.
Air transportation network is the main pathway for a global disease spread.
Think of all the things you and tens of thousands of others touch at an airport and in an airplane. A study from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology shows that very few people in an airport have clean hands. And if we want to slow an epidemic, we have to have clean hands.
First of all, we try to calculate the rate of hand washing around the world.
Previous studies showed that 70% of people wash their hands after using a toilet. And out of that number, only 6 or 7% do it correctly.
So correctly, I mean they wash their hands with soap and water for at least 15 seconds. We did some back of the envelope calculations and we found out that if you visit an airport any time in the world, you will realize that only 1 over 5 people have clean hands.
Nikolaides then looked at what he calls super spreader airports.
A super spreader airport is an airport that combines two characteristics. The first one is that has a lot of traffic, okay, transverse a lot of people around. And the other characteristic is that it's connected with many other airports, with many other international flights.
These airports are basically the 10 largest in the world. John F. Kennedy in New York, Los Angeles International, London Heathrow, Hong Kong International, Beijing Capital are among them. But even if just 30% of travelers had clean hands, the spread of disease could drop by 24%. Nikolaides says educating the public is the key. Carol Pearson, VOA News, Washington.
Coming up, shifting political support. You're listening to VOA Asia.
After you listen to VOA Asia, you can see VOA Asia. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free. See us often at VOA Asia YouTube.
This news from VOA Asia, a prominent Rohingya political activist visiting Washington says the United States should increase pressure on Myanmar to end persecution of ethnic minorities and restore the citizenship rights of hundreds of thousands of Rohingya Muslims driven from that country by government-sanctioned violence. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for top stories and great features. This is VOA Asia. As we continue with VOA Asia, former Vice President Joe Biden has won the South Carolina primary. That's a key preference vote in the race for the Democratic Party's presidential nomination. Biden says he can forge a national coalition to beat President Donald Trump. But he faces tough contests in 14 states this week on Super Tuesday. Mike O'Sullivan reports the race is tightening after businessman Tom Steyer withdrew late Saturday.
A win for Joe Biden in South Carolina after the lackluster showings in Iowa, New Hampshire, and Nevada. He said the press and pundits had pronounced his candidacy dead.
Now, thanks to all of you, the heart of the Democratic Party. We just won, and we won big because of you.
Biden thanked Congressman Jim Clyburn, whose endorsement proved decisive with the state's many African-American Democrats. Bernie Sanders placed a distant second, but still leads in the count of delegates needed for the nomination. He congratulated Biden on his win.
A lot of states out there, and tonight we did not win in South Carolina. That will not be the only defeat. There are a lot of states in this country. Nobody wins them all.
Former South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg says he plans to stay the course.
I am proud of the votes we earned, and I am determined to earn every vote on the road ahead.
On the minds of some voters, the coronavirus.
The Trump administration failed to act, and now that shock has arrived. The coronavirus is spreading worldwide and here in the United States.
Businessman Tom Steyer withdrew his candidacy.
But I said if I didn't see a path to winning, that I'd suspend my campaign. And honestly, I can't see a path where I can win the presidency.
Senator Amy Klobuchar says she's ready for coming contests.
They thought I wouldn't make it through the summer, and then I wouldn't make it to the debates, but here I am headed into Super Tuesday.
A new name will be on the ballot on Tuesday when Democrats in 14 states will make their selections. Billionaire Michael Bloomberg. He spoke in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Right now, we have a leadership vacuum in the White House, and it could not have come at a worse time.
Early voting is underway in most of the Super Tuesday states, where 40% of the U.S. populace will have the opportunity to vote in primary elections March 3rd. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News, Los Angeles.
This news break from VOA Asia. Malaysia's Muhyiddin Yassin, a Malay nationalist politician backed by the corruption-tarnished former ruling party, was sworn in as prime minister Sunday after the king picked him to replace 94-year-old Mahathir Mohamad. The swearing-in capped a week of political turmoil as Mahathir tried to consolidate power. Visit VOA Asia on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, India, home to one of the world's oldest civilizations, is showcasing the culinary traditions of the 5,000-year-old Indus Valley civilization that was discovered just 100 years ago. Archaeological research has shown that it was an advanced civilization with well-developed cities. An exhibition, Historical Gastronomica, New Delhi, conceptualizes the food that the South Asians ate while living there. Anjana Pasricha tells us more.
In a kitchen in New Delhi's National Museum, chickpeas simmer in an earthen pot before being stuffed into dough and baked. The meal being prepared is no ordinary one. It is being cooked with cereals and vegetables consumed by inhabitants of the 5,000-year-old Indus Valley civilization that flourished in northwest India and Pakistan. Archaeological findings show that their diet included much of what is still eaten in South Asia.
There's a lot of food which have continued. Everything to do with our innate taste, everything to do with survival food, it's similar. For example, chawal, the rice or the roti, it's only become more and more soft. It has become more and more fine because we started losing our teeth.
People learned that carrots, garlic and bananas were widely used. Breads probably came from cereals like barley and millets. A handful of spices, such as turmeric and cinnamon, added flavor. But the cooking techniques made it distinct.
The food is a little coarse. You need to chew it a little more in your mouth before you can swallow it down. Everything is pounded through stone. Everything is cooked on either hot stone or on terracotta.
In kitchens, cooking implements like earthen pots were simple yet sophisticated.
The base was thicker so that it didn't crack. It had a certain quantity of sand so that it would not heat up too fast and char the food at the bottom. Yet char it or cook it just as much as is required. They were able to regulate temperature, heat given to food by manipulating amount of dung and firewood.
The food traditions of an ancient civilization hold lessons for modern ages. Vegetables were not peeled, food cooked slowly, and the water used was never drained.
Everything is cooked in a pot, and because terracotta pots simmer very slowly, so it's pretty much going back into the dish. So very, relevant to today's need of whole food, wellness, sustainability, eating seasonal, zero wastage. And I think it is far more important to us today than it probably was back then, 4,000 years back.
This plate includes lentil stew, stone charred raw bananas, relishes, and a pudding made with millet. Modern day staples like tomatoes and potatoes, which arrived later, are missing.
It's very, very super tasty.
I feel that the way of cooking that we have developed is coming from theirs.
Although many have learned about the Indus Valley civilization, sampling their food gives a closer connection to ancient times. Anjana Pasricha for VOA News, New Delhi.
Cambodian Rock Band is a play by Lauren Yee, and it tells the story of a Khmer Rouge survivor who returned to Cambodia for the first time in 30 years. The play that officially starts this week at the Signature Theater in New York City received high praise during previews. VOA Khmer's Risi Poch reports from New York City.
Cambodian Rock Band tells the story of Chum, a survivor of the Khmer Rouge regime, and his relationship with his American-born daughter, Neri.
I'm here to bring you back.
That's why you came.
Pinksniff! Law school is waiting!
I didn't get into Cornell. I'm not going to law school.
Swing and a miss! Try again!
I'm in the middle of this case!
In the play, Chum is trying to convince his daughter to return to the U.S. She is preparing to prosecute Dutch, an infamous war criminal.
Keep you here, as is what do you call it? His butt dial.
Oh, good.
The play was written by Lauren Yee in the hopes it can help parents share their stories with their children.
Not just what happened during the Khmer Rouge years, but before, you know, when you were growing up or, when you were young.
Awesome, that's what I thought, yeah.
Jo Ngo plays Chum. Born to parents who are Khmer Rouge survivors, Jo says survivors who came to see the show open up afterwards.
And I think it's so beautiful that we can share that. Like I said, I did the play, my parents opened up even more.
Courtney Reed, who is half Vietnamese, plays Chum's daughter, Neri. She says the father-daughter relationship is universal.
I wasn't Cambodian, but I think that everyone can relate to that sort of father-daughter, family, different generation.
Although it's set against the dark chapter of Cambodian history, the play is not about the tragedy, according to actor Jo Ngo.
It is about the celebration of the people, not about the conviction of the people who did the crimes.
Cambodian Rock Band is also not a musical, but it's full of Cambodian oldies and contemporary songs by Dengue Fever, a psychedelic rock band in Southern California. Yi also hopes she can instill the love of Cambodian music, old and new.
I feel like hearing them played by this band might make fans of the music.
The off-Broadway play was originally scheduled to start on Monday, February 24, and ends on Sunday, March 8. But due to popular demand, it will continue for another week, total of 3 weeks, at the Signature Theater in New York City. Rissa Poch, VOA News, New York.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You'll find us online at iTunes and SoundCloud. You can download us as a podcast. Hear the entire program if you happen to miss part of it. You'll also find it on our page at voanews.com. See us on YouTube, follow us on VOA Asia Twitter, and you can also contact us. VOA Asia at voanews.com is our address. We'd like to thank our director, Tracy Carter, our engineer, Tony Pollock, our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great week ahead.